Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life, Text 42. Nanvasya Brahmana Rajan Krishnasya Jagat Atmanaha Punantak Pararajasa Sri Lokim Daivatam Mahat Nanu But Asya By Him Brahmana The Qualified Brahmanas Rajan O King Krishnasya By Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Jagat Atmanaha, who is the life and soul of the whole creation. Punataha, sanctifying. Padarajasa, by the dust of their lotus feet. Trilokim, the three worlds. Daivatam, worshipable. Mahat, most exalted. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear King Yudhishthira, the Brahmanas, especially those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord throughout the entire world, are recognized and worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the heart and soul of all creation. The Brahmanas, by their preaching, sanctify the three worlds with the dust of their lotus feet, and thus they are worshipable even for Krishna. Purport. As admitted by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 1869, Nachatasman Manusheshu Kasyid Me Priya Kritamaha. The Brahmanas preach the cult of Krishna consciousness all over the world. And therefore, although they worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord also recognizes them as worshipable. The relationship is reciprocal. The Brahmanas want to worship Krishna, and similarly Krishna wants to worship the Brahmanas. In conclusion, therefore, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord must be worshipped by religionists, philosophers and people in general. At the Rajasuya Yagya of Maharaj Yudhisthira, many hundreds and thousands of Brahmanas were present, yet Krishna was selected to be worshipped first. Therefore, Krishna is always the Supreme Person, but by His causeless mercy, He recognizes the Brahmins as dearmost to Him. That's on the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Ideal Family Life. Next we're going to find out some instructions for civilized human beings. So first we'll have to become civilized and then we can receive the instructions. My dear King Yudhisthira, the Brahmanas, especially those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord throughout the entire world, are recognized and worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the heart and soul of all creation. The Brahmanas, by their preaching, sanctify the three worlds with the dust of their lotus feet, and thus they are worshipable even for Krishna. As Maharaj Yudhisthira had said, when Vidura had arrived in Hastinapur, after being on pilgrimage for something like almost 34 years, Bhavan Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Swantak Stena Gatabritaha. That saints like yourself, you see Maharaj was referring to Maharaj Vidura, are very holy places of pilgrimage. It's called Tirtha. One of the five powerful processes of devotional service is known as Tirtha, living in a holy place. But Maharaj Yudhisthira said that Vidura himself was a holy place. Why? Tirtha Kuravanti Tirthani. Wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage. Now, how do you turn a place into a place of pilgrimage? Do you hire a decoration company? Put pictures of the temples, Radha Govinda temple, and what do you do to turn a place into pilgrimage? Swantak stena katabritaha. We have to put Krishna in our heart. Wherever Krishna is, that's where the place of pilgrimage is. Could you imagine a place of pilgrimage without Krishna? That would not be possible. Prabhupada once said in Los Angeles that here we're living in this building. Before we came here, it was just an ordinary building. People didn't come to the building to offer their respects, what to speak of obeisances. But now, because we've installed the deity, now it's become a temple. And when we come into the temple, we offer our obeisances. Because Krishna is present. As Śrīla Viṣṇunātha Chakravarti Thakura has said, that anyone who offers obeisances to the deity in the temple but neglects to see how Krishna as the super soul is in the hearts of all living entities, his worship in the temple is useless. It's just like if you were fanning the deity and at the same time you were stepping on the deity's feet. It would not be appreciated. Similarly, since the Supreme Lord is in everyone's heart, therefore everyone is a temple of Vishnu. So let that sink in for some time. Generally we think, well, you might be trying to become a devotee. You haven't quite made it. And when you become a devotee, then I might give you some respect. But in the meantime, you're not very respectable. But actually, we offer respects, for instance, when we see a sannyasi, not to the stick, if he carries one, but we offer respect to the super soul in the heart, as well as the soul. But obviously Krishna is much bigger than the soul is. So our first respect goes to Krishna. And if we don't offer respect to the sannyasi when we see them in the morning, we're supposed to fast, at least until noon. Especially on Lord Ramachandra's appearance day. Similarly, if we don't offer respect to other living entities, then our so-called worship in the temple is a waste of time. Not a completely waste of time, but as we see in the case of Krishna Das Kaviraj's brother, Krishna Das Kaviraj's brother, hired one pujari. I believe his brother was Gunarnava. And he hired one pujari to worship the deity. But there was one devotee of Lord Nityananda, his name was Shriniketana Ramdas. Shriniketana Ramdas was an ecstatic devotee of Lord Nityananda. Sometimes he'd come to the temple and he'd climb on the back of the other devotees when they were offering obeisances. Sometimes he'd play his flute in the temple. I don't think it was Shriniketana Ramdas, but there was one devotee, I forget his name now. Murari Chaitanya, that was it. This particular devotee, Shriniketana Ramdas, always had Lord Nityananda within his heart, and he was worshiping him in ecstatic love. But when he came to the temple, The priest was worshiping the deity and he neglected Shrini Caitanya Ramdas. So Shrini Caitanya Ramdas understood that this, he was actually being disrespectful to Lord Nityananda. He didn't take it personally that you're being disrespectful to me, but he thought that I am a great devotee, I'm known to be a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, and this pujari is worshiping Lord Chaitanya, but he's neglecting Lord Nityananda. So the devotee, because he carries Krishna within his heart, or Lord Nityananda in this case, therefore he becomes even more worshipable than Lord Nityananda. And therefore, seeing the disrespect of the pujari, Shrini Caitanya Ramdas broke his flute and went away. Now Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he observed this and he told his brother that you should chastise the priest for this offense. But his brother had little faith in Lord Nityananda, although he had faith in Lord Chaitanya. And therefore he took the side of the priest, and because of that he fell down. So we may even be worshiping Krishna, but if we neglect his devotees or his other expansions, for instance, it's said that if one worships Lord Shiva, but he doesn't worship Vishnu, then Lord Shiva will become angry at him. And if he worships Vishnu and he doesn't worship Lord Shiva, he doesn't show respect to Lord Shiva, then Vishnu will become angry. So there's always a team going on. For instance, even in this age, it is said that if we worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we don't worship Krishna, then we're known as asuras, demons. And if we worship Lord Krishna and we don't worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're also known as demons. You can't worship, so you can't have one relationship with someone called the judge, and when he takes off his uniform and they call him John, then you disrespect him. He's the same person. You can't respect him one time and then disrespect him another time and be considered having a good relationship. So we can't love Krishna and not love Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can't love Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and not love Krishna because they're the same person. Similarly, we can't love Krishna and not love his devotee, worship his devotee. Even Krishna says, worship of my devotee is even greater than worship of myself. Or as Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Parvati was asking Lord Shiva, what's the best kind of worship? So Lord Shiva said, Aradhananam Sarveshu, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, Tasmat Paratram Devi, Tidiyanam Samacharam. That the best worship is this worship Vishnu. Vitevidu Swarthikithim Hi Vishnu. Now how many people actually in Ljubljana right now know that the most worshipable person is Krishna? How many pick up the newspaper and see if there's any news about Krishna in it? Hopefully we don't even pick up the newspaper. But anyhow, there's not much news about Krishna in the newspapers. And if there is, it's probably not very good news. But Vishnu is the worshipable object, and everything else is insignificant. Dharashaya, ye bahya artamanina. It's simply a combination of the different gross and subtle material elements, having no real connection with the self, with ourselves as souls, or with the Supreme Self. It's Krishna's separated energy. We can't have a rasa with the external energy. But even better than worshipping Vishnu is Tadiyanam Samacharam. Vishnu Radhanam Param Tasmat Parartaram Devi. Even better is Tadiyanam Samacharam. Worship the things in relationship to Vishnu, in relation to Krishna, especially the devotees. But even the devotional paraphernalia is worshipable. One time a devotee was kicking one of the pillows. And Prabhupada said, you should not do that because that pillow is more worshipable than your foot because it's being used in Krishna's service. Similarly, the books, one time, Thakur Krishna Maharaj held up a book and it was completely perfect shape. He said, this is my book. And then he held up the book, another book. It was all tatters and all the pages were torn and falling out. And he said, this is Krishna's book. So my book I take care of, and Krishna's book, the temple's book. Oh, poor Krishna. Let him take care of it. Therefore, we have to develop that vision, vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gava hastani shuni chaiva swapake cha pandita samudarshana. That in everyone's heart, including the learned and gentle Brahmin, the cow, the dog, the elephant, and the dog eater, Krishna is there along with the Lakshmi. And as a matter of fact, wherever Krishna is, the whole spiritual world is there. For a self-realized devotee, he can see that. Now that we're covered, we're seeing in many different ways. Samam Pashani Sarvatra. Samam Pashani Sarvatra. Samav Vasitam Isharam. Ihinastyatmanatmano. Tatoyati Purangati. Samam Sarveshu Bhuteshu. Tistantam Parameshwaram. Anyone who sees a super soul accompanying the living entity in all bodies, and who knows that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, he actually sees. One who sees the supreme soul accompanying all living entities and knows that this is equal everywhere, does not degrade himself by his mind, and thus he approaches the supreme destination. So we should see how Krishna is reciprocating with all living entities. Although the soul is unchanging, he's become entangled because he's chosen the wrong desires. But he can correct those desires by good association, especially in the human form of life. And therefore, rather than criticize the activities of others unnecessarily, then we should try to engage others in Krishna's service as Krishna's instrument. We should try to inspire people to desire correctly, desire to serve Krishna. And that will make their life successful. We don't have to change their body. We don't even have to necessarily change their activity. What we have to change is our attitude towards Krishna. Instead of competing against Krishna and thinking that my body is worshipable, we should understand that Krishna is worshipable and those who represent Krishna are also worshipable. And then will become worshipable. Otherwise, we become disconnected. Like the finger has great value if it's connected with the body, but as soon as we take the finger away from the body, if we cut it off from the body, then the finger becomes useless. But as soon as it's connected back to the body, then again, it becomes valuable. Similarly, the soul, once connected to Krishna, has great value. And when it's disconnected in the illusory energy, then it has no value, it's simply wasting its time. So just so I can say something about Lord Ramachandra before the time goes up, I'll read from the Nectar Devotion about Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. And apparently, this is from the chapter 34, and apparently pitiable condition in devotional service may appear distressing to the inexperienced student. But the feelings of the devotee in this pitiable condition are considered to be ecstatic by expert devotees. For example, the subject matter of Ramayan is sometimes considered pitiable and distressing to the heart. But actually, this is not the fact. The Ramayan narrates how Lord Ram was sent to the forest by his father just when he was going to be enthroned. After Lord Ram's departure, Maharaj Dasarath, his father, died. In the forest, his wife Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana, and there was a great war. When Sitadeva was finally delivered from the clutches of Ravana, Ravana's whole family and kingdom and Ravana himself were vanquished. When Sita came home, she was tried by fire, and after some days, she was again banished to the forest. All these subjects in the Ramayana seem very pitiable, and they may appear very distressing to the reciter. But actually, they are not. Otherwise, why would Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, read daily about the activities of Lord Ramachandra? It's described in the Ramayana itself. The fact is that any of the above-mentioned 12 transcendental humors, a devotional service, everything is transcendentally pleasing. So this is about lamentation. So the idea is that in our conditioned state of existence, we can't experience very much of what actually spiritual life is factually. Because Atakshi Krishna Namani, Nabravet Grayam Indriyai, Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado Swayam Evas Bratida. That no one can understand Krishna with one's blunt senses. Hanuman was completely in ecstasy hearing the Ramayana every day, because he was actually there in the Ramayana when he was hearing the Ramayana. He was experiencing the transcendental mellows of Lord Ram and his reciprocation with his innumerable devotees. But for us, when we hear Ramayana, we go to sleep. Or maybe we think it's a nice battle, it's exciting, we wait for some kind of Hanuman picking up some boulder, throwing it into the ocean, or fighting against Lord Ram, cutting off Ravana's heads, and then they're growing back. For us, it may seem like a science fiction tale. Sure, monkeys talking, bridges being made out of rocks that float on the ocean. There is someone called Kandamba, who has mouth in his stomach, and he spears lions, tigers, elephants on his spear and eats them for lunch. Sure, this Valmiki got bored and found some plants nearby, experimented a little bit and wrote the Ramayana. But actually, that's not the Ramayana. The Ramayana is actually a transcendental experience of transcendental mellows between Lord Ramachandra and his various devotees, and even between Lord Ramachandra and the different Rakshashas. These are all transcendentally relishable mellows. But only when our senses become purified can we actually understand what's actually taking place in the Ramayana and experience it, rather than simply intellectually try to understand it. Therefore, without devotional service, these stories remain simply, for most people, phantasmagoria, or fictional, or mythological. And for an advanced devotee, they're transcendentally relishable. So we may be in between. Hopefully we're on the path of relishing these stories. If one can come to that platform, then one's life is actually successful, and then one is happy under any circumstance. And if one doesn't come to that platform, one will never be happy under any circumstance. Therefore, we have these Bhagavatam class, and we try to distribute Krishna consciousness to others, because that is the only happiness that's possible, both in this world and in the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have a question relating to Ramayana. And in Ramayana, there are many characters. One of the characters is also then in Krishna Lila, in Krishna book is
Jambavan,
yes. But in Ramayana is all the time called like aged Jambavan, and like the senior from Vanaras. I don't understand how old then he was when he met Krishna and fight with him.
Oh, he's older than we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, Rama lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years. So if someone lives for a little bit more than we do, we shouldn't be surprised. He was at least Treta Yuga was at least a couple of million years ago. So he's at least a few million years old. He does exercise every day, so he keeps himself fit. He has a good diet. Anything else?
Okay, there's one question, Maharaj, from the audience. So I would please accept my humble obeisances, Hare Krishna. I would certainly not criticize Rama, but if yes, that would be a great offense. Now, when Lava and Kusha did criticize Rama, they got the affection of Sita Rama. What makes them immune against getting reactions to their criticism?
Because it's natural for the sons to criticize their father. So it's forgiven. Every son usually sometime criticizes their father. But they're Rama and Lava and Kusha are sons of Lord Ramachandra. They're not ordinary persons. And their criticism in defense of their mother is Lakshmi Devi herself, the internal energy of Krishna. If you defend the internal energy of Krishna, Krishna becomes very pleased with it. Even you offend him, if you protect Mother Sita, then you're considered to be very dear to Lord Ramachandra. But these are all transcendental pastimes. For a mundaner who's actually envious of Lord Ram, they'll be vanquished. But Lava and Kusha is his sons, and out of love and affection for Sita Ram, there may be sometimes criticism. Krishna likes when the gopis criticize him sometimes. It's relishable, spiritually relishable. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.